Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers.
Happy Halloween, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. Unfortunately, nobody played Beyond Earth, so we really don't have a big story this week. Sad to say, but we did play a hell of a lot of video games, and we are in costume. Well, two of us are.
What the? No, where the fuck is?
Where's yours?
All right, here's
we're
mine.
All in costume.
I'm putting mine on right now.
Yeah. Okay.
You can't really hear me too well when I put this on, though. I do look ready to rob a bank.
For those that are watching, this mustache is going to last maybe 2 minutes. I can't take drinks, and I have a very sweaty upper lip.
You look like Teddy Roosevelt.
Sweaty. I like to call it sweaty. My upper lip. So it just falls off randomly. So I'm going to have it until it falls off.
Yeah.
All right. And then we have Chad over here dressed as Ken from Street Fighter.
Yeah. He stole my wig, but this is my Ken costume. And it pulls with the ladies, just to let you know.
Best costume I ever had. My dad's a mailman, or he was. He retired. I would just steal one of his uniforms and wear that to Halloween parties.
And then start shooting people?
Okay. No.
That went dark quick.
I thought that's where he was going.
I got through a dark place, bro.
I know a guy who's a firefighter, and he goes out on Halloween as a firefighter.
The uniform kills.
Kills.
I'm telling you.
Kills.
Yeah.
But that's a, like, I can carry 5 ounces of paper.
Versus postal worker kills, literally, though. Like, that's a literal kill. Okay.
All right. Okay. Let's talk about some video games. Jeez. Okay. All right. Who wants to start off with what we've been playing here?
Let's go you so that you can put on your mask afterwards.
Yeah.
Because I'm not comfortable and you are.
I'm going to start off with a weak one here. And this is just going to be a brief mention. I played a game today, actually. I had got it through a Humble Bundle. It was an educational game because Humble Bundle had an educational pack. And it's called Counting Kingdom.
Is this like Typewriter?
Like Word Muncher or something.
What's the Typewriter game that you guys play?
Typing of the Dead?
Typing of the Dead.
No, this is nothing like that. This is more like Plants vs. Zombies, where you have these monsters moving from one side of the screen to the other. And you have to... Each monster has a number. And you have to add them up by connecting them and then hit the number... It's an educational game. It's very cheesy. It belongs on an iPhone. It's probably for little kids. But I played it just to get the card drops. And then after a little while, I was like, this is kind of fun. It's a brain exercise, basically. Near the end of the game, it got challenging. I mean, I beat the whole thing in less than an hour to give you an idea of how short this is. But I just thought it was interesting.
This looks like a game that you're just trying to get trophies on. Is that kind of what?
No, there's no achievements. No,
I was getting cards.
I was getting card drops.
Okay. But then he found, like he just said, then he was having fun.
Can I get do a little aside here? So I was playing a game, and I went out, and I decided, hey, I'm going to leave this up running, because I'm going to do the Bobby thing and try to get some cards from it.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. On the main screen, so I left it sitting there for 4 or 5 hours, didn't get a single card. Is that random, right,
Bobby?
What game were you playing?
I was playing Killer's Dead, which I'll talk about later.
Some games don't have cards.
Yes. No, they have cards.
Yeah, you should have got a drop after 4 or 5 hours.
Like, the cards were worth 25 cents. So I was I'm going to leave this back on because I'm going to make another dollar.
Yeah.
Just leaving this sitting.
Did he do something wrong, Bob?
No.
Do I need to actually be in-game? Because it was on, like, the main screen.
No, that's fine. You just have to have the game up and running.
What you're saying.
I don't know. Maybe you've already got all your card drops. I don't know.
I got 2 cards.
You got 2 cards from there?
Yeah. Oh.
You can go into the badges section and see how many card drops you have left. For most games, it depends on how many cards are available for the set, but usually it's somewhere between 3 and 5 cards. So if you've already gotten 3 cards from it, then maybe you don't have any more to get.
If this is your first episode or something, you don't know what we're talking about, you use cards to get advanced your Steam level. Bobby's the motherfucker.
Yeah.
Actually, there's something that happened we can't even talk about. That's how much of a motherfucker he is.
Yeah,
he's got a video up that shows you how to become a motherfucker.
Yeah.
Is that what it's called? How to become a motherfucker on Steam.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So Google that.
No, it's how to power level your Steam account.
Yeah.
Okay.
Which is great because so many people ask me that. I get all sorts of randos just messaging me on Steam saying, how'd you get that level? And I just fucking copy-paste the link now. It's perfect.
Yeah, and apparently you have the golden voice, so, I mean, you can...
He's not losing in life.
It's like getting sweet honey poured into your ear.
Okay, yeah.
And you're learning at the same time.
Oh, my God.
No, it's the worst thing, right, dude. I was, you know, with my girl, and she's like, you know, that guy Bobby, I think his name is, he's got the golden voice on your podcast.
Yeah.
The golden voice. No, baby, don't get me wrong. You have a nice voice, too, but he's got the golden voice.
Didn't she ask you to listen to it while you guys were having sex? Because she was more interested in listening.
She's like, I'm going to have more fun.
All right, first of all, I've never heard the term golden voice until you kept bringing it up, all right?
You think I made it up just for you?
I don't mean to play the humility card here, but it's not like a Morgan Freeman or something. I don't know. Anyway, Counting Kingdom.
What are we talking about?
Okay. We're talking about Counting Kingdom.
Counting Kingdom.
And honestly, that's all I got to say about this game. It's like, seriously, 50 minutes of gameplay.
Is it worth it? How much did you spend?
I don't know. It was in a bundle that I bought for like $5, and I got like...
This is for gamers that have a child that they want to...
Yeah, this is an educational game, but it was like a brain teaser. Like, it was pretty challenging. It was making my mind work. This is great on an iPhone for a kid, or just if you want something to keep you busy. I don't know. I thought it was worth mentioning, but that's really all I got to say about it.
That's
all
you played all week?
No, I got plenty more coming, trust me.
Okay.
All right.
Let me jump in.
Yeah, please. All right.
Okay.
I only have one game, so...
So, I was looking at games... So on our Steam group, there is a thread devoted purely to what do you want us to play. And I was looking through that thread. I almost played Lichborn Battle Mage. That's probably going to be next week. This week, Stringoglide. Is it Stringoglide?
I think it's Syringoglide. Like Syringoglide. Glide. Yeah.
He requested Invisible Incorporated. I took a look at it. It seemed like up my alley. So I went ahead and bought it. It's $15. It's early access. And it's basically a turn-based isometric stealth game. And you basically play as spies that are trying to infiltrate different organizations or whatever.
Like the FBI or the CIA.
Yes,
right.
But...
First of all, don't dress up like Carmen Sandiego.
Yes, it is a very Carmen Sandiego look.
Yeah.
But anyways, it's all procedurally generated, so every time you play it, it's different. So I went in and started playing this, and let me tell you, it is a difficult game right now.
Mm.
It's, first of all, a lot of fun. If you guys are into this kind of stealth game... you'll really enjoy this kind of game. It's stealth, but it still allows you to subdue enemies. So it's not just avoiding enemies. It's a little bit more invested than that. There's some hacking components. You have multiple group members. There's some leveling up aspects. A lot of this stuff is really good. I'm really curious to see how this goes, how this progresses. The one thing that I really liked about this game is you couldn't just restart the level. Like, there was no restarting the level. If you failed, if there was something that was going on...
You know you're fucked, but you can't do anything about it.
It was basically you start all over, and then it procedurally generates you again. Mm-hmm. So the thing I liked about it is there was... it's not like a perfectionist game where you're just trying to do the perfect run. It's more like you're trying to do it as well as you can, and if you get caught, you're trying to avoid it, and you're trying to take them down. Like, it's not just do the perfect run if you fuck up. We played Monaco a little bit, and Monaco kind of had this idea that you're not trying to do the perfect run. You're just trying to get through the level.
Until something goes crazy, and then you would
exactly adapt. This game has that kind of same aspect, because you know there's no restarting the level. You got to either quit out, start over, or deal with it.
Interesting.
And so,
is that a plus or a minus?
Sounds like
a plus.
I like that aspect.
Yeah.
Like, I came in thinking that this was going to be kind of a perfectionist game
where
I'd do the perfect run.
Right.
But when I fucked up, I went into the pause menu and there was no, like, restart the level.
Right.
So
deal with it.
Exactly. So they could have turned this game into a perfectionist game and had the restart level option in the pause menu.
Mm-hmm.
But I really appreciate that they didn't do that, and that... If you mess up, you want to deal with it, because it's easier to deal with it than just restarting.
And you might get out, right?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Multiple times when I was playing this game, I was like, oh, fuck, I got caught. something happened. Normally, I would have just restarted the level. But in this game, you work and try to figure out how to avoid that and try to overcome the situation.
That's cool, because when you first said it, I was like, oh, that's definitely a negative.
Yeah.
And then now that you're speaking it through, I was like, oh. Because so many players, completionists especially,
yeah,
would never have seen that extra content that you could do once you get caught.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
That's dope.
Exactly.
This game really looks like Shadowrun. It does.
It's very quick. Like, you have your action points, and you spend your action points, and then it's the enemy's turn. So it's turn-based, but it's very quick, clean, very clean graphics. It's got some cool things about hacking and weapons, and there's leveling up involved. Like, I'm enjoying this game a lot.
Few games look this good this early, right?
Yeah. No, yeah. On the right-hand side, you can see, like, there's this circle that kind of levels up. So every time it hits five turns, you gain...
undetected.
It gains an extra level against you, so then it starts doing things. So you can't just stall out. You can't just say, like, oh, I'm going to do this. Because every time...
Like a new guard is
every
that?
Keeps
you on your toes.
New cameras, new whatever. Like, awesome. So it makes it harder and harder the longer you stay there. And
I don't know if you know this, but the thing that are added, are they random?
It's not... So, this is procedurally generated. So, everything
even
is...
Even better.
Yeah, everything is kind of random. And the voice acting is really good. The graphics are clean.
What'd you pay for this?
So, this is $15.99 right now, early access. And it looks like well worth the $15.
Awesome. Like, and it's only going to get better from here. You're not going to get worse.
Exactly.
That's awesome.
And so, basically, the premise is you have 72 hours to accomplish this. And I've never gotten to 72 hours because I always fuck up, somebody dies or something like that.
Yeah, still a completionist in you.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I highly recommend this game right now. This is Invisible Incorporated, by the way.
Invisible Incorporated.
Yeah.
Catchy title.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's funny how you mentioned Carmen Sandiego. Does anyone remember what the band was on Carmen Sandiego?
Yes, I do. It's called... Rockapella.
Rockapella. Can't stump this guy. All right.
You are. That was a great...
we're taking it
that
way
was
back.
A great TV show, though.
Where yeah, you learn world. Shit.
That was also a computer game. Did you guys ever play the PC game?
That's why I watched the TV show.
Fucking fifth grade computer
really?
Lab
yeah.
right
I thought
there.
I you were fucking around, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
The TV show, I mean the...
All that early PC game stuff that you know, you guys know? Like that, where Bobby's icon comes from? All that shit, I was like... The very first thing I ever touched was once I was playing Oregon Trail, and then I didn't touch anything until, like, Half-Life 3.
Oregon Trail, Risk nice. On the PC. Did you guys ever play Risk on the PC?
No.
I have Risk on Steam.
Yeah. No, it was... that was like, my my middle school / high school years.
Nice. Cool. Oh, there we go. Carmen Sandiego.
Yeah.
We'll have to have an old school episode, like take it back
to
some old
should.
Originals. All right. So, Emilio, you're up.
Yeah, so me and Chad have been playing a lot of Borderlands. I wouldn't say a lot. When we can sneak it around. When our times are so fucking mixed up that it's hard to get time together. But what we do...
Our times?
Yeah, our times.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I work a 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
But our times are mixed up.
Yes.
Okay, cool.
You didn't sound bitter at all.
No, much. Not at all.
Anyway, so whenever we do have time that we're both sitting at our computers and not jerking off, we play Borderlands.
Yeah.
Pretty much. And when we do, it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
I mean...
Borderlands is a pre-sequel.
The pre-sequel, right?
Yep, the latest and greatest.
And, I mean, what more can you say about this? All the architecture for a great game is there. You have... I mean, you don't have to worry about anything. You don't got to worry about netcode. You don't have to worry about bugs. You got something gorgeous to look at. Everything works, and you have your buddy with you, or buddies, except for this.
Bobby, this guy over here.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm jumping on the pre-sequel wagon here. I mean, I like to, and I'm sure at some point. Pre-sequel is going to be on sale for like $5. I'm
We're going to be like, oh, that old game.
Yeah.
I'll find somebody.
You know how you do with us with every game we ever say, yeah, I just got this new thing on sale. Oh, that old game? Yeah. We're going to do that to you. Okay. So,
well, you have one game you can hang over my head then.
But seriously, though, like, we're like 15 hours in, maybe something like that. 20 hours.
Have you guys beat the single or the
No, not even close. I want to say not even close.
I think it's actually harder to play with. So I've been playing single player, and I've been playing with you, and it is actually harder with you. Like, single player.
Fuck off.
No.
I'm the opposite.
No, because there's less enemies.
Oh, yeah. It ramps up really well.
It ramps up with multiple players, and with when I'm playing single player, I'm using the sniper a lot, and in this game, when I'm playing with you, we're doing, like, shotgun, and I'm playing with Claptrap, and he's a piece of shit. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
So I think to attest
how much it ramps up per person, I think it's more than double.
Yeah, I think it is too.
Yeah, because there was a time where three of my friends were playing, and I was several, I would say 10 levels below them, and I joined in just to get power leveled, and went in there. I made it so hard they could not progress through the game.
Yeah.
You know, they couldn't carry me, basically. Hmm. And that's, again, I talked about it extensively last week. The difficulty modifier on this game is perfect.
Yeah, it's definitely challenging.
Yeah.
The more players, the more challenging it is.
Yeah.
For sure.
And two things on the voice acting. I talked about it last week, how good it is. Guess what? It's made by 2K Australia. So... Huh. I wonder why everybody's Australian.
Yeah.
Right. But, and also.
They don't think everybody's Australian. They just think that there's.
Yeah, they're normal.
Yeah. Right, everybody's right. Normal.
And the other thing was, there's this one boy named Pickle. And he is the Tiny Tina of this episode.
He's like, hilarious. He's great. Awesome.
He's so good. He's like a he's like a street urchin.
What do they call it in Ocean's 11? The black dude in Ocean's 11. He's got the same kind of sort of
it's
dialogue.
Called,
Whatever it is.
He's
got it.
And it's
and
really
he nails
good.
It.
Yeah. And so I was like, oh man. And me and Chad, while we're listening to him, we giggle.
Yeah,
and we hear each other giggle, and then we play off of that. And whatever we. So then I was talking to my other friend who beat this game and beat it again and beat it again. Because you do normal, Volt Thunder, and then ultimate Volt Thunder mode. You can do it. And he's done all three.
Wow.
And he said to me, that's the point where I turned off the audio voice.
So
or whatever, dialogue. Voice dialogue. I was like, what? We're enjoying it so much.
Yeah.
He's like, he couldn't. So, maybe it's not for everybody.
Well, third time around, that's got to get a little
No, even first time is when he shut down. So.
It's
oh, right then? Like, it's super overplayed. We'll get him right in the bum-bums.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. It's overplayed. But awesome. We like it, yeah.
It's awesome.
Since we speak normal.
Yeah.
Right?
Normal, exactly.
Yeah, normal.
We speak
normal.
Hollywood.
That sounds awesome.
Okay,
Something cool.
Okay.
Awesome. Okay, so Borderlands 2.
You want to talk 7 Days to Die?
Yeah, let's do 7 Days to Die. Now, I played this a lot today. I probably put in about 6 hours of this game. Developed and published by The Fun Pimps, this game is in early access. It is yet another crafting survival horror game, right along the lines of DayZ, Rust, Nether, Unturned. Yeah, which is not a bad thing, but we've played all of these games. And we
come on. It's a bad thing.
No, it looks terrible.
Well, the graphics are bad.
No. If you're not published and you're making a survival zombie game, that's a bad thing.
Wait, hold on. Because Unturned did this really well. They didn't
enjoy Unturned.
No, but for free to play.
I felt like Unturned was a very polished experience for what it was.
Exactly. For one person making the game, the graphics weren't trying to be fucking too serious. The gameplay wasn't trying to be too serious. This right here looks like it's a bad fucking 90... Like, this game came out in 98, maybe?
Well, you're judging it off the graphics, and yes, those are not good. The graphics are very poor. The actual gameplay is very similar to Rust, though. And it's not a bad game. If I hadn't been through this so many times before, then I might appreciate a little bit more. So, I do like the fact that they have rocket launchers in there, though.
So, crafting in this game, is crafting worthwhile? Because that's kind of the fun part of Rust, is like,
mm-hmm.
you No, but like you get in there, you start leveling up, and then you start like trying to make your base. Is that similar to this also?
Yeah, you can build houses, you can build items. There is a lot of crafting, like a huge amount, and the whole system's a little finicky. It's very weird to work with. But and yeah, you have to build your guns out of certain parts, and you have to build the ammunition. There's so much crafting, and it seems a little overcomplicated, to be honest with you. And you can also loot. You can run around and try to get this other ways as well. But I didn't play too much PvP on this. Actually, I didn't hardly play any at all on a PvP server or a dedicated server. I just kind of messed around on my own. But I'm going to assume that it's a lot like every other crafting game out there. Like, I can't imagine this really branching far from the other, from like Rust.
Honestly, I mean, it looks exactly like Rust in a different setting.
Yeah. And I think I did like Rust a little bit more than this game. But out of all of them, I still got to say I like Nether the best. I like Nether conceptually. I like what they were going for and the ideas that they had. I didn't necessarily like all the bugs and the glitches and the implementation.
Netcode was probably the biggest issue, right?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. That's kind of vague to say that. But yeah, they had several issues. Like, you couldn't even go into the water. It would glitch and kill you. There were just collision problems. It was just all sorts of things. It was just a poorly made game at that point. And I think that's still in early access, too, isn't
Man,
it?
I look at the name on my...
I don't think Nether was ever early access. That was a released game.
I think you might be right, Chad. Yeah. But I do see it on my... And I was like, every once in a while, I almost click on... I actually highlight it more than once. I'm like, oh, I should jump into this. And
yeah.
I don't.
Like, Nether...
Like, Chad, if you wanted to play, I would do that. Yeah. But not over Borderlands, which plays perfectly.
Yeah.
And we want to, you know, progress the story.
Well, you know what the biggest difference in this game is? You can actually group up with people. You can create a group, and you can select their name, and you can click track. And then you can find them right on the map. You can actually bring up a map, and you can run right towards them. Now, this cuts out a big part of a lot of other games like DayZ and Rust, where you have to coordinate, look for landmarks, know the map, have it up in another window, just have the map kind of memorized and recognize areas, and then try to find it. Yeah. You spend forever just trying to like get to each other. So this cuts that right out, lets you group up with people, and lets you form those factions right away, which I thought was an interesting choice. You can also choose what your character looks like. They only have four options, but at least there is some customizing when it comes to that, whereas Rust, everybody looks exactly the same, or maybe a little different depending on armor.
Well,
which
I never wear pants in that game. It makes me look a little different.
Just cock hanging out.
Yeah.
No, that's the way to wear it.
That's the way to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like in Rust, how many times do we get into a gunfight, like five of us versus five of other people, and we forget who's on our team? That happens a lot.
But that's cool. I do like that part.
Yeah.
Not knowing.
Makes it interesting.
Yeah, for sure.
The
yeah.
things I like about Rust don't seem like they are showing up in this game.
Like what?
Like the, like you said, like you can find people... Like, that's part of the charm of Rust, I think. It's like, you get in there and you have to kind of figure out your way.
For some reason, in Rust, I didn't mind it as much as DayZ. DayZ, I hate it.
Rust has a much smaller map, and it's easier to navigate. It has that one big road that goes all the way around.
And it didn't feel like you were...
this is a novel idea. Maybe that's what we're missing in DayZ. When you understand the alien the way that we understood Rust, maybe that's where the fun starts happening.
Yeah,
you
know? Maybe.
It's possible. I don't know. I find it hard to like any of these games at this point after I played so many of them.
I totally agree, man.
So maybe someone else is going to pick this up and enjoy it. And maybe if this is the game that you picked up, because this has been out a while. This came out in December 2013. So maybe someone picked this up instead of Rust and they got hooked on this game instead of Rust. You know, maybe they feel the same way about this that we do about Rust.
Well,
they're really not that different.
Sorry. What this game has that Rust doesn't is... always present threat, right? You said there's zombies all the time.
There are a lot of zombies.
Rust doesn't have any of that, and that was our biggest problem with Rust.
Oh, they tried to put that in various phases of Rust, but I don't know where they're at with that. I mean, they had zombies and
people
had zombie
are the biggest
bears.
Threat by far.
Definitely. And I didn't spend so much time on PvP servers in this game, I don't know how much that comes into play, but I'm sure it's very similar. I will say that zombies get very aggressive at night in this game, and they do become difficult to deal with. You also have fat zombies, which don't go down too easily. You really gotta, like, it takes like three headshots to kill them.
Remember in Nether, when we went and we did that kind of like boss zombie, mm-hmm. and we were all fucking fighting it.
Dude, no, that's
yeah.
awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe, I wish maybe, these games would
we should
have
jump
that,
in.
That
I have it installed. We should play that game.
Okay, yeah.
I still think Nether was the best out of all those. There were some really bad things.
There's no crafting in Nether, though.
There was a little crafting. You had to craft guns. And armor, maybe? I can't remember. But no, you had to craft guns. Yeah, you had to get gun parts to make guns.
How did Chad
but
deal
the
with that?
Footsteps were completely silent. You could run right next to somebody, and they could not hear you. So the only way people could see each other is if, you know, by sight, you couldn't hear anyone coming. And for, you know, for me, that was super annoying because you could sneak up on anybody. It made it good if you were assaulting people, but if, you know, you were under attack, it was like, what the hell, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know. That was my biggest issue with Nether. But yeah, that's 7 days to die. Like, I don't know. I'm
not going to get back to it.
I think like this open world survival crafting thing is kind of on the downslope.
Yeah, it's definitely dying now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And
except for Fortnite.
And Minecraft.
Oh, Minecraft
will get go away.
Yeah.
Minecraft is its own thing now.
Minecraft you now with two smaller squares.
All right. Is it my turn to talk?
Yep.
All right. So I played another game called Killer is Dead. And this is a game from Pseudo 51. And Pseudo 51 is kind of a well-known kind of... along the lines of... the same guy that did, like...
I don't know.
I don't know.
Why'd you say well-known? Well-known in the underground, maybe.
No, well-known in the video game community.
Really?
Pseudo51. He did a game called Killer's Dead. It came out on consoles a couple years ago, and it came out for PC about a year ago. It was on sale for $8, and I've been wanting to play this game because I've never played a Pseudo51 game. So I picked this game up this week, and I had fun, but it's fun. Like, so this game's kind of, it reminds me of a kind of an indie house movie, where if you're into the indie kind of movies, you really like the movie, and if you're into mainstream movies, you just don't get it.
And what you're talking about, I think, is a... there's a certain kind of, I guess, personality where, okay, the special effects aren't that great, but I can still enjoy the story.
Yeah. But it's not even...
I will give them a certain amount of slack because I know it's leisure.
Yeah.
And I will love the shit out of it.
It's kind of like...
hipsters. That's what you're...
Yeah. This is the hipster game for the... It's
I think it looks awesome.
It's very stylized. The art style is very, like, interesting. It's very unique. Like, you don't see this at all. The gameplay is very kind of generic, though. It's a very hack and slash, and you can do a shot. It's got... the tropes involved in this game are very generic also. He's kind of like this womanizer that will just pick up girls and sleep with them and everything like that.
Wait, what's wrong with that?
No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
That's part of the appeal for me, that I wanted to pick this up. They've got these levels where you basically try to sleep with girls, which is kind of an interesting mechanic. Mm-hmm. And you have to, like, kind of stare at their body parts, but you can't stare too long, because if you stare at them too long, then you get slapped.
Oh, so my God. I've been doing it too long so long.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
my whole life.
Yeah. Yeah. So maybe you can learn a little bit from this.
Hmm.
So, like, you gotta, like, stare at them, but not too long, and then give them gifts, like a rose or a pack of gum. Like,
is that all it takes?
Yeah, apparently.
It's been costing me $500 a pop.
Yeah. So, it's an interesting game. It's very Japanese, like, but at the same time, I'm enjoying it so far. I'm gonna continue to play it.
Will you really?
Yeah, I think so. It's very... I don't know if I like it, but it but it catches my attention. It's kind of one of those, like...
something different.
Yeah, it's different, and I don't know. Like, you know, you see the girls that you're not attracted to, but at the same time, like, you just keep looking at. That's this game.
I, like, really hope one of you guys can pick up this reference. In the 80s and early 90s, there was these art... drawings of usually women, and it was just black ink on white, and it was just like their outline. It was really famous, and everybody was, it was on every wall. That's what it looks like to me. It's very like, the art style is great. I can't say, that's the strongest point I can bring up. Yeah. All the hearts, the UI looks really bad.
No, the UI is terrible.
Yeah.
The gameplay is not that good.
Like,
there's a lot of downsides to this game, but...
Do we know what this got on Metacritic or Steam or any sort of...
I bet I could tell you in about 10 seconds if I think really, really hard, LB.
Yeah. I think it was in the 70s, honestly.
Why'd you play this game, Jeff?
Honestly, because I heard you could, like, seduce women. So nice. I was like...
And you need help with that.
Yeah. I was like, I'm going to go for it.
Chad hasn't been late since 92.
Yeah.
1992, good year.
That was a good year. I got laid then.
Killer is Dead. That's an unusual name for a game.
Yeah, and they keep bringing it up in cutscenes. And it's like he throws his hair back and he's like, and what's coming up? Killer is Dead. It's like, it's really bad.
Yeah. Corny.
Yeah. Like, you watch animes or whatever... And
as I shook my fake golden hair.
You watch animes and you think the translation is bad, and then you realize, no, it's just the writing is bad. This game.
But, so not a strong recommendation. Get the DL or not.
For $8, I will tell you to pick it up. For the $20 that it's asking for on regular price, then no. Do not pick it up.
All right. Okay, well, let's move on to... I got one more game here that I played this week. One Heart. That is number one, no space, Heart. And I say that and I spell it out for you because if you want to find this game, you have to type it in exactly as it appears. So this is not an easy game to find. This is kind of... It's been a little under the radar on Steam. It came out October 10th and really didn't make too many waves. I think maximum players this had on the Steam page is like 6 or something.
6?
Yeah.
Wait, does that mean... online that time?
At one time, the maximum number of people playing this game was like 6. Yeah. Okay. I don't know how many people... Out of my 1,600 friends on Steam, one person owns this game on my Steam
list. He's so hard up for fucking horror games.
Yeah, and that's how I found this. I was doing an extensive search for scary games, and I happened across this. And it looked interesting. Right away, just the visual... You can tell that this game is done in a very specific art style, kind of impressionism, looks very scribbled, kind of blurry, a lot of like watercolory. Very
looks
impressionistic.
Looks a lot better than some of these other games that you've been playing.
Yeah, it's got a unique, well, better than 7 Days to Die. Yeah. But there's very little animation to it. It's all still images. And it's a point and click adventure game. It is a horror game. The plot is you play a girl, her sister was kidnapped while their parents left them. They went off to do something. We don't know what. The two girls were home alone, and someone came and kidnapped them. And now you, coming out of a coma, I guess, have to go and find your sister.
Out of a coma.
Yeah, or you were unconscious or something. They don't really explain too much. Yeah. It is a dark game. When I got to the end, the ending was very unusual. It was very weird. It was not what I expected. Overall, the story was a little simple, but it is kind of dark and twisted. But what I really liked about this was the puzzles. It had really, really good puzzles. And that's unusual to find a puzzle or a puzzle game that has puzzles that are challenging but fair and just creative. You know, creative, interesting puzzles, things that are actually fun to solve.
So better than Deponia is what you're saying.
Deponia had some all right puzzles, but its strong point was really its story.
This story is not good, but its puzzles are good.
No, the story is decent. The story is all right. It's rather simple, but it's okay. This is made by Polish developers, and there are some issues with text translation. There's one line of text that wasn't even translated at all. It was just left. And I saw this actually happened in Deponia at 1.2 for me. I didn't play their newest version, so maybe that was fixed later. But yeah, there are also other parts in the game where you could tell it was translated. It just didn't come off quite right. The sentence structure was a little bit off, or you could tell it's just not too good. But yeah, it was actually a really good game. I enjoyed it. What I wanted to bring up about this, though, that I thought would be interesting to discuss is cheating. Now, I didn't cheat on this game because there was no, at the time I played it, like right when it came out, there was no walkthroughs. There was no.
There's only six people to draw from.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. There might be one up by now. I actually put a video up explaining one puzzle that a lot of people.
Three hits, the old game.
Woo!
Yeah.
Yeah, it probably has like two views. I did the video just to post in the community hub because some people were asking about a certain puzzle. But what I did is there were some puzzles like a binary puzzle and also like a Simon Says puzzle where you have to memorize a pattern. And what I did in one case, like with the binary one, I just opened up a web page converting decimals to binary and just punched the numbers in there. And then for the Simon Says one, I recorded on my phone like left, right, right, left. And I did. I used that. And also, at some points in the game, I took screenshots of hints that they give you that I could use later on a different screen to solve them. So my question is, do you consider that cheating? Does that fall under the cheating category, or where do you draw the line there?
Chad, is that okay?
I think as long as you don't get the answers,
clues are okay?
Yeah, we grew up in an era when you were supposed to write stuff down. In the 90s, gaming in the 90s, like, you were supposed to write stuff down and take notes and whatever. So, like, I'm okay with that. Okay. As long as they don't have... If you're not looking up the answers, I'm okay with all that.
Okay. I think this is where more of my stance is. If you're okay with it, it's your gaming experience. Whatever you want to do. If you want to go get...
I don't know about that.
No. Listen, dude. If you start Skyrim, you're level 1, and you say, I'm going to have the most fun if I go get God mode. Actually, that's just a command what you could do in console. And just give yourself God mode. And that's how I'm going to have the most fun killing everybody in every town. That works for you. Go for it.
Albert brings up an interesting point. As long as it's not multiplayer.
No.
I think cheating is very serious when it comes to multiplayer.
I completely disagree. Because, okay... This is how I equate it. In real life, for example, my maximum bench, for example.
Yeah.
If I said, hey...
700, right?
Yeah, 850, actually. Okay. But if I said, how much do you bench? And you said...
If I lied.
345.
Right.
And you didn't, actually. You could only do 150.
Right.
Like... Don't lie to me. Don't tell me that's the truth because you looked it up one time and you knew how to do it.
This is different because you're benching in a room by yourself and nobody ever needs to know that what happens in that room.
Okay. But you know? Multiplayer. I'm just saying if you're going to cheat, Keep it to yourself.
Nobody cheats and goes out and says, I beat Skyrim in 30 minutes.
In fact, a lot of people do.
I don't think
that's
so.
Basically what Listen, the, that's basically
whatever
what
makes
the
you happy,
about.
Do it. Whatever makes you happy, do it.
Well, the way I felt
But
about
if this
is,
makes you happy, you're a bad person.
Yeah. Correct.
See, I felt okay with this because I felt like I was utilizing technology to be able to solve these puzzles.
Bobby's a bad person.
Kind of liken it to... I don't expect people to remember certain things, and I'm okay with not remembering a lot of things because we have the internet, and you can look up anything you want in a second. Do I need to remember what...
There's a study on that, actually.
Yeah, do I need to remember, like, the exact date that a historical event happened, or can I access that in 30 seconds on my phone? Yeah. So,
1978, awesomeness is born.
I don't know. That's... It's definitely a gray area, and it's up for some debate, but... Chad brought up an interesting point in earlier days of gaming. They kind of intended for people to do this, to pull out graph paper and to jot down rooms of where you were going to go.
Yeah.
And, you know, like Albert said, some games even have built-in cheats to them to kind of assist you. So, I don't know. It is definitely a gray area, but I don't know. I feel like, at least in my case, I feel like, you know what, I could sit here and I could try and memorize this pattern forever, or I could just use modern technology which people do every day. I mean, we use modern technology to make our lives easier and to do things faster so we don't have to remember and labor over every detail.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's my
opinion. I could go out and make my own money, or I could just hack this bank and take their money.
So. Yeah.
One thing I got to...
I agree.
One thing that I really did not like about this game, that I hated about this game, was actually a technical issue. And this game had mouse acceleration automatically enabled and no way to disable it. Now, you may have some experience with this if you use a Mac. Macs have mouse acceleration enabled by default. If you've ever hooked a Logitech or like a third-party mouse up to a Mac, then you notice it right away, and I hate it. I can't stand it. It causes my hand to cramp up because I'm over-adjusting.
Mouse you need to stop with that spider grip or whatever the what do you call it?
Claw grip? Yeah.
Yeah.
That's how I'm most
by the way, it makes it sound like it's cool. Oh, I got the claw grip. No, you're holding it retarded. That's a retarded grip. Just hold it normal.
No, it doesn't with work your palm. The palm?
Yeah.
That feels nice. So fumbly to me to hold a mouse with your palm, to put your whole palm on the mouse and move it around. That's, I don't know, that's strange to me.
Wait,
much more precise.
What's mouse acceleration, though?
Mouse acceleration is when you move a mouse from point A to point B. Say I move a mouse half an inch. Then, like for me, I say, okay, if I move it a half an inch on the pad and it goes that far on the screen, then if I move it a full inch, it'll go twice as far. But mouse acceleration doesn't just take into account distance, it also takes into account how fast you move. Mm. So if I flick my hand to the right, then it says, you're moving really fast. You must want to get way the hell over there. It is, but if you're not used to it, you'll notice right away like how different it is. Your mouse will just go, whoa, where did that go? Like all the way on the other side of the screen.
Well, Borderlands, I would say more than any other game, has not, I don't think it's what you're talking about, but their sensitivity is through the roof. Both of us have to, every time we play Borderlands, I have it on my mouse, so it's just a couple clicks for me. But you have to turn that shit down way down. The sensitivity is through the roof. I don't know why they did that.
Yeah, it's different for every game, but I've never... Well, I have seen some pretty bad mouse setups. You know, TF2 has mouse smoothing, which I don't like either. I turn that off. Now, I like mine because what happens to me is I think, okay, if I move it...
He's a purist.
Yeah, he is. I think I am too.
Well, when you use a mouse, if I move it half an inch and it moves that far on the screen, then, you know, I make a mental note or, like, instinctively I know, okay, if I flick it really fast and this is where it needs to be, like, as fast as I get to that point, we'll get it to that point on the screen. It doesn't matter, though, with acceleration. So what you end up having to do to compensate for acceleration is a lot of overcorrecting or moving the mouse a lot slower than you normally would. Mm. So it disables you in a lot of ways. I don't know. I hate it, and I couldn't turn it off in this game. And the very last puzzle in this game requires you to click really fast on a lot of different parts on this one contraption, and I had a really hard time doing it. I had to, like, shake the hand off at a few points and just, like, rub my palm just to kind of get the blood flowing again. It was so bad.
Hmm.
But they did say that in this game, the developer and the community hub said, or the community hub, said that they will be releasing a big update soon that addresses some of the concerns that players had. They're going to, quote, raise the level of entertainment and address some deficiencies in the game. So I guess a lot of people complained that, I don't know, the game was a little boring or something.
All six of them complained.
Yeah, I guess so. I don't know.
And you know what? Community Hug sounds pretty good, too.
Yeah, right? Community Hug.
You know? I think I originally said HUD, actually. But okay.
But we could do a community hug, too.
Yeah, we can do that, too. But yeah, overall, I actually really liked this game. I thought the puzzles were great. I thought the story was, you know, mediocre but decent. And the art style was great. Like, it had a lot going for it. If you like point-and-click adventure games, if you like puzzle games, then this was definitely good. I spent about 8 hours on it, and it was a solid 8. I mean, it was
nice.
Great. Yeah.
Solid 8.
Solid 8. Well, not like a rating, but a solid 8 hours.
That
like,
describes
I didn't...
some of my dating life.
I thought you were going another direction with that. So that's it for what we've been playing. There was one game that I said I would play this week, and I was going to, but I ended up playing 7 Days to Die instead. But that is Year Walk, and I did play a little bit of Year Walk.
I'm excited for this.
Did I get you Dragonborn?
Yeah. No, no.
Oh, no. Dragonborn. Yeah, I was talking about Dragonborn.
Damn,
excuse me. The most important game there is.
Okay.
I mean, Jesus, it just came out, and it's super popular.
If you're playing the Skyrim drink... game, then go ahead and start drinking because this is what's coming.
Take two shots because the actual word Skyrim was mentioned. Okay, last week I went over everything that I liked about Dragonborn. This week I'm going to pick it apart just a little bit. There's a couple things that... Okay, so when I was doing the final boss battle, it took me three times. I felt super OP, and I couldn't finish. It just glitched out. And it wasn't anything that I have to do with mods, it didn't look like. So I had to redo that. And I was taking footage the whole time, so... Not only did I have to restart, but I had to restart the footage and all that stuff. So you might have to kill the last guy multiple times. There's that. But I would say the majority of the important parts, story parts of this game take part in another dimension. And it's the dimension of knowledge and something other. And there's a demon that runs this place. And he's like a bunch of eyeballs and tentacles. Very Lovecraftian, I would say.
Okay.
And, I mean, it's really creepy. This is probably, of all the Skyrim I've ever played, visually, this is probably the most intense, I would say. Or at least thought-provoking. I mean, while I'm playing it, it's very... Jump here, don't fall here, kill this... Which is Super Mario if you take it all the way back. Nothing's changed. But the way they do it visually is so impressive and so otherworldly that you forget how simplistic the actual movements are. You know what I'm saying?
And this is Dragonborn. This is an official expansion.
The official DLC. There was two. They should have done more. I mean, everybody would have picked it up. Because every time you do an expansion, more things are expanded on the mods. So they should have done more. But anyway, this is the last expansion. I highly recommend it. It rarely goes on sale. Even full price, I would say, pick it up. When I say I finished it, I finished the main storyline. It's very, very hard for me to not do the side quests. Because they're just popping up on the sides and it's like, hey, come save my village. How do you say no to come save my village? Meanwhile, you're decked out. My other big complaint is not a real complaint. Is my full ebony armor that I spent hours learning how to craft. There's a new metal in Dragonborn called Skullram or something. And I've decked myself out in it and it's better... Statistically, but I look like a Smurf. It's terrible as far as aesthetically.
Wow. Absolutely. I hate when that happens. When the stats are better, but visually it looks worse.
Exactly.
You're wearing a bikini at the end.
And it's a single player game. That's the weird thing. It's only for your own enjoyment, but whatever. It is what it is.
Oh, man.
So, anyway, great game. Next, I will be playing Felskar, which is the DLC. I want to call it DLC, but it was fan created and supposedly has more content than the original game. So I can't wait to jump into it. I've heard that, you know, voice actors and all these people have gotten jobs off of this, especially the main guy who put it all together. He got a job at SOE. They just picked that dude right up.
I mean, it's not official Skyrim content, but it's
a mod.
It's a mod, but it's like professionally done. It's like really well done.
Okay. Thousands of hours of voice acting, huge continent. So, yeah, that's my next goal.
Wow. All right. More Skyrim.
Yeah, ever since Chad said he hated it, I'm going to do it every week.
Yeah.
Fuck him. And
I'm totally excited about hearing about Skyrim. For
Skyrim Corner. Okay. All right, so... As I was saying a little bit earlier today, last week, I said I was going to play Yearwalk. I did play a little bit of it. I have not beat it, and I'm going to wait till next week to really get into it. I'm just going to tease it a little bit by saying it is a really good game. I am really liking this game. I also wanted to play a little clip.
clip for everybody.
This is the funniest thing that's happened to me all week.
Well, don't sell it up like that. What if...
All right, let's hear it.
I want to first preface it by saying it was really late last night. And by really late, I mean 11 o'clock.
But don't tell it up is Let me defend my manhood. That's what I heard, right? Yeah.
No, no, I
want
to...
You might hear my vagina talking, but I want you to say that, no, I actually have a penis. No, go.
No, well...
You know the chat.
No, quite the opposite of that, actually. I have a counterpoint to that, but I'm saving it for after I play the clip.
All right, play the clip. Let's do this.
Well, it was very late at night, and I get very spacey, and it's very easy to scare me. And at one point, I was like, all right, it's time to go to bed. And I was trying to finish this last part of this game. And people, I'd read in the reviews, or just on the Steam store page, that this game was scary. And at first, it doesn't look scary at all. It looks like a Christmas card. And I'm playing through it. I'm like, all right, it's not very... scary, whatever. And then I reached a part that was scary, and I was recording, and I guess my mic was on.
You didn't know this?
Yeah, I didn't know my mic was on, but fortunately it was, and it'll be on the video for those watching on YouTube, but for those listening, just go ahead and listen to what we got here.
Oh, fuck you!
In Bobby's defense, what comes up on screen, I would have said, oh, fuck you,
yeah.
To
yeah, yeah. It was very late at night, and I didn't play a little earlier than that. It was this lady who came out from the woods, and she was singing very softly, and then she turns into a hideous monster and runs right at the screen. And that's what I've noticed about myself, when it comes to jump scares, they always talk about fight or fright, and I think I'm definitely the fright guy, because whenever I get really scared, I immediately become super aggressive, and I always yell, fuck
that's
you,
the fight,
or fuck
that's
off.
That's the fight side.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Fight or flight.
Fight or flight?
Yeah,
fight or flight. Okay, fight or flight. I said fight or fright. Yeah. So yes, I'm definitely on the fight side, apparently, because every time, and this happened with Five Nights at Freddy's, every time they jumped me, I was like...
Yell at your computer, and I'm like...
Yes, and it was really late it was 11 o'clock. I'm sure my neighbors heard me.
That's really late for you.
Yeah, that is late for me. So after that, I was like, all right, time to go to bed.
Could you imagine if the cops showed up? Apparently you're fighting with your girlfriend. Or...
We heard a lot of screaming.
Did
and
you
there
throw
was,
her off the building, sir?
There was a lot of screaming like a girl. And
I don't think that sounded like a girl. That was a very manly, aggressive, fuck you.
Ah, fuck you.
We laugh, but at the same time, we haven't played any of these
games. I know. You guys are the ones that won't even play these games. Yeah. I've been there going toe-to-toe with these guys every day.
It's true.
Yelling fuck you to their face.
Speaking of which, Outlast, they're going to be part two.
Yeah.
Red Barrel Games.
Outlast 2. I can't wait. I will definitely play that. I really liked Outlast and the DLC. Can't wait to see what they do next. There'll be plenty of fuck yous in that game, too. Yelling at that screen. Okay. So yeah, more on Yearwalk next week, but I will say right now, it is definitely... The game's like $5. It's worth your money.
Nice.
Cool.
All right, so should we get into news?
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
All right. Uber Entertainment, we talked about them a few weeks ago. They were starting a new game, Human Resources.
Sweet ass.
Well, they didn't cancel the game. They did cancel the Kickstarter.
Well, we didn't say they canceled the game yet. We just said...
Well, I was cutting you off because I knew that's where you were going.
Okay, it just sounds confusing sometimes when you do that.
All right, so they canceled the Kickstarter, and I really hope they continue with the game. Although I don't know if they will now that they don't have funding. Now you got to do the old school way where you do the work first and then get paid for it.
Yeah.
So right? Why was it canceled? Because lack of funding?
Yeah, and the lack of funding came because controversy, where people didn't think that they got their money's worth on the first game. So, which was Planetary Annihilation.
Yeah.
And Bobby, you've owned it for several months. What's your final thought on
Planetary Annihilation? Yeah. Well, when it comes to Planetary Annihilation, I'm talking on my house. I haven't played that shit. No. Oh, yeah, I haven't played it yet. It looks cool, but yes, there was a lot of controversy about that game because it did not live up to a lot of the things that they said were going to be into it. A lot of people were really disappointed.
And during that, they started another game.
Yeah.
During the controversy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they jumped onto a new project before they, in what a lot of people felt they didn't even finish the first one. And I was just having this conversation with someone today. I feel like the Kickstarter bubble is just starting to burst now. You know, people are not, this is evidence, people are not going to back something if they feel they got cheated out of something else. You know, yeah. You can't just say, hey, here's a Kickstarter and a good idea, give me money. You know, people aren't going to fall for that anymore.
Except for great idea. Yeah. I mean, this is better than all the other things. A lot of the other things.
Oh, sure. Planetary Annihilation looked like a great idea, too. And yeah. It was a great idea. It just didn't happen. I mean, this is vaporware that they're selling you. And that's what Kickstarters are. And hopefully they come to fruition. Oftentimes they do.
Not
sometimes.
Yeah. Let's be. Like,
Bobby's not the cynic. In the
no, movie. Not at all.
It's all vaporware.
Some of the Kickstarters have paid off.
Unless Bobby can order it on Amazon. It's not worth it.
No, I appreciate what they're doing. They definitely need to have this kind of venue for games to get made as an alternative to your traditional way of, you know, finding a developer and a publisher and making that deal happen. But there's a lot of stuff that aren't going to happen this way, and I feel like it's been abused. And
things did need to fail. And I wish it wasn't this one.
No,
it's such a great idea.
You are 100% correct. Like, there has been abuses going on, but it's the same way like when, you know, Napster came out and suddenly there's a new way to do music, you know, like it evens itself out.
Oh yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, something. So I don't know. It seems like you were really looking forward to this game.
I was,
but. Albert's pulling up funny pictures here. But I don't know. I'm okay with that. This game looked really cool. Honestly, Human Resources looked cool, but I'm so tired. I'm not sold on something looking cool anymore.
Yeah.
This is when a cynic like Bobby can say, see, I was right. Because he shut his mouth way before.
I pulled out my I told you so.
Last week he was like, yeah, it looks cool, but what if it did? You know, yeah. And he was right.
All right.
What else is going on in the news?
3D Realms is back in business. 3D Realms, formerly Apogee Software, is a really old developer. Well, they did a lot of things in developing, publishing, a lot of things in the video game industry, responsible for such games as Duke Nukem, the original Wolfenstein game, Shadow Warrior, like some classics from way back in the day. They are, of course, the ones who were working forever on Duke Nukem Forever and then handed it over to Gearbox. But they are back in business. They're coming back, and apparently they even got a project that they're working on, too.
So a bunch of really old dudes.
No, it's actually new people. They're taking the guy from Inter-something. I can't remember the name
of
it.
So it's just a name, really.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
They're bringing the name back, and they're taking, you know, there's lots of new people. There might be some originals on there as well. And they're working on, yeah, from Interceptor Entertainment, the CEO from there. Let's see. According to the developer, some of the original staff have returned, including the original founders, Scott Miller and Brian Turner. And there are new faces joining, such as Interceptor Entertainment CEO Frederick Schreiber and Mike Nelson from CoolShop.com. So some new people, some old people, and they're working on a Duke Nukem action RPG.
No, seriously. Duke Nukem needs to just never...
No, I mean, it was really funny, man. Like, the first ones were really...
No, it needs to die. Seriously, it just needs to go.
It might be the wrong era, though. Duke Nukem is an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie.
No, it's... You know, like... No, it is
last
Action Hero.
Yeah, yeah.
Which
wouldn't work now.
We don't need a sequel on Last Action Hero.
You might be right there.
Yeah.
And Bobby couldn't disagree more.
Yeah.
No, actually, I kind of agree. Like, Duke Nukem has been said and done. I would rather see something new. A new project, a new IP. I would be much more excited for that, but I'm not going to say, oh, it's Duke Nukem, it's going to suck. I mean, I'm going to stay open-minded about this till I start seeing some
stuff. A good game is a good game regardless of the background or anything. So if they make a good game, I'll get excited.
It could be good.
I just wish that people would care a little bit more about, like, character and story and development and, like, all these things that are just...
Well, you kind of know you're not going to get that in a Duke Nukem.
That's my whole point. Like,
it's going to be a bunch of one-liners.
The name's Duke Nukem. Like, you're not going to get fucking he's not going to fucking learn to find a soul in this game or whatever.
But what if they did? What if they took it in that direction? And what if it was really good? Maybe it could happen. It's not. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen. I'd say there's like a 0% chance of it. But what if they did?
Yeah.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah, I don't know.
Who knows? But I don't know. This brings back fond memories of me. I mean, Apogee, 3D Realms. I mean, shit. Those are some of my favorite games back in the day. Wolfenstein, Shadow Warrior.
You love
Commander Keen.
You love Wolfenstein.
Oh, yeah.
You got all excited about Wolfenstein, the
New Order? Oh, yeah.
The New Order, oh, yeah. When the dream sequence, when you got to play the original version of it. Yeah, you got...
Yeah, that is a great game. I mean, I'd still go back and kind of play around with it a little bit just for old time's sake, but that was like the first-person shooter.
Yeah.
All right, what else we got news?
So, recently, just a couple weeks ago, League of Legends did their big Grand Nationals. This is the $1 million plus to the winning team. So it was the final matchup was between Samsung White and I believe a Chinese or Korean team called. I forget exactly what it was called. It was like Dragonhorn or something like that. But the reason we're bringing this up is, one, how much money is involved in these esports now. But one of the games that's close, near and dear to us is Smite. And it just recently hit $1 million on their tournament. Amelia, you know a little bit more about
that. Yeah, they did their whole, what was it, Odyssey?
Yeah, it's still going on, by the way.
Yeah, yeah. So Smite has, we bring up Smite every time because the consensus amongst us four is that it's the best MOBA out there. Even Bobby says
it's an action MOBA as opposed to these
strategical.
Other,
yeah, yes, yeah. But it also has the Twitch gameplay. Yeah, okay, let's not get into it. But anyway, it's our favorite. And recently I said that it was the fifth most placed game online. You know, they're making huge strides. And now they have a almost 1.2 million game, you know, tournament winnings, which pales in comparison to Dota 2. But when you compare it to LoL, which is a bigger game than Dota 2, and their tournaments are like $2 million.
Yeah.
You're on the right track. And just as a concept, totally, it just shows you where we're going, where people can make a living playing video games.
Yeah.
So many people think about these things that enjoy these things that you can make a living off of it. And that's amazing. That's amazing.
Yep.
I wonder how much of a living, like, do you think you could keep making a living off of this? So, I mean, is this something...
Smite specifically or MOBAs or gaming?
MOBAs, gaming in general. I feel like I've been following esports not too long. Maybe the last year, maybe two. But I feel like you can't... I don't see a lot of the same faces coming back. I mean, there are...
I think the problem with these kind of games is the... So all these games are based off, like... your Twitch, your hand-eye coordination, and your hand-eye coordination starts going downhill fast in your 30s. So none of these people, these are all like teenagers, 20-year-olds. Once you hit like 24, 25, you just can't keep up with it. You just can't do it. So like these people's turnovers...
Not to mention time to devote.
Yeah, it's even worse than you know, traditional sports, where you can play till you're in your 30s. Like, you can't play these kind of games in your late 20s or early 30s. You just can't keep up with them. So, I agree with you that you won't see a lot of repeats because people are all new and all.
Yeah, I mean, you do see some repeats. Like, when I follow the Dota tournaments, I see a few familiar faces. You know, like Dendi, who was in... the free-to-play documentary.
Great
on his
documentary.
Team.
If you haven't seen it yet, free. How do they spell it out? Free the number two.
No, it's just free to play. Yeah, free to play.
Great documentary. Free.
On yeah, I mean that he's come back several years in a row. He didn't do very good last year, but it's a tough thing to be constantly competitive at and to keep making money. What I'm saying, I think, is that this is not a career. This is definitely something you can make money at, but I don't know if we're at the point yet where this can be a career. I don't know if there can be contracts or if you can sign people like in the NFL or football.
But this is the first wave of this.
Yeah.
True.
It's obviously going to get better.
I don't know. Sure. I don't see it getting any less competitive, though. And that's really what keeps people
This doesn't have the TV money associated with other sports. And that's really where the big money comes
Everybody
in.
Looks at me like I'm crazy, but I really do think esports is going to surpass regular sports. I know.
No, I agree. I think it will eventually, too.
Eventually.
But I don't think people are ever going to be able to make a career or a living off of this for an extended period of time.
You just contradicted yourself. If they're going to surpass regular sports.
I'm saying as an athlete, as an esport player or athlete, I don't think you're going to be able to say, that's what I do, that's my career, this is what I do for a living. I play esports from 15 to 65 when I retire. That's what I do. I don't see that happening. And you're building a very specific skill set. You can't
You're right. But maybe, like a football player, you get in, make your money, and survive the rest of your life with that. And coaching. You know?
Coaching.
Those who can't do.
Professional athletes have a 4-year lifespan.
Yeah.
Maybe
In the NFL.
Maybe we'll get to the point where esports are like that also.
Yeah.
But there's 8 million steps before we get that far.
Could you imagine like a Dendy or whatever, like at a mall signing fucking posters for people when he's...
I'm sure that happens in other companies or other countries.
Like Korea's already there, right?
Yeah.
All right, what else are we talking about?
I think that's about it for news.
Okay,
so you guys want to wrap this up?
Yeah, you want to talk about what we're playing this week?
I want to play this week everything that I wanted to play last week, but I won't play it. Yeah, I didn't get around to, so...
Okay, what would that be?
That's going to be... I want to finish up Borderlands. We didn't even get close.
Yeah. We're not even doing the side quest.
Yeah, we're trying to just barrel through it.
Yeah.
So, there's that. There's Civ Beyond Earth. Who's going to get into that? It's not going to be me.
I really want to play. I've never played a Civilization game. I really want to play this game. So I really want to.
It's good. It's great. I would totally play it. But I don't know. I'm totally okay with passing on this. So I would... That's a great thing that you're going to pick that up, though. for many reasons. I think you'll enjoy it. I want to hear an outside perspective on it.
The premier reason was, of all those reasons that he said that that's a good idea, the $50, I would say, was that.
Well, you said, that's good, that's great. You should do that.
You know what I want to play? I don't know if I'm going to get it this weekend. I'm not making any promises, but I really want to play Legend of Grimrock 2. I don't think that's going to happen because I'm going to finish strong on horror games October, going to the end. I will say, by the time this goes up on Tuesday, or shortly after, we should have our... Yes, Grimcock 2.
Yeah.
But we should have the top 5 scary games of 2014 video on YouTube.
You should.
Yes, I should. I'm going to finish that. That's my big focus.
Let's say why it's you. Go ahead and tell them why it's you and not us.
Because I've been the one playing all the scary games.
Yeah, and why won't we?
Because we're pussies. Yes. <I don't> No,
we're pussies.
Because we're
pussies. Chad and I cannot play scary games.
Yeah.
So we don't. Apparently. And so Bobby's going to do his own thing.
Oh, I didn't realize how much of a pussy you were. Because I've played games like Dead Space, Dead Space 2, like, I've been in my...
They weren't that bad. Those games weren't that bad.
Really?
Doom 3 is the one.
When you were telling me about Insomnia, where you...
Amnesia.
Where you literally couldn't...
I couldn't even get to the first monster.
Couldn't play it till the first monster. Oh, then again, I didn't.
I say the same thing to
you. I quit Gone Home halfway through, and that's only a 2-hour game.
And that's not even a scary game.
Yeah.
What? Amnesia is not scary.
No, Gone Home is not scary.
Oh, yeah.
It's very atmospheric, though. Give me atmospheric, at least.
There's lightning bolt. He needed a thunder buddy.
Yeah. You need to finish the game to realize why it's not scary, though. Like, that's the whole point of the game.
Spoilers, Bobby. Jesus Christ.
I alluded. I didn't spoil anything.
Okay.
Anyway, so I'm going to continue with scary games. I'm definitely going to finish up Year Walk, and I'm going to come back, tell everybody all about it. And then, I don't know. There's got to be something else I'm going to be playing. Maybe even finish The Evil Within. I have not finished that. I'm on Chapter 11 or 12.
Don't do it. I saw the final boss battle. It looks like the out shit.
I don't know. I'm that so game. Close. I got to finish it. It's just, it's a matter of closure.
Maybe
now.
We can touch on this real quick. Do you think that you need to finish game in order to review it or give it a recommendation?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You walk out of a movie like halfway
through. I'll review a game after an hour.
Well, it depends on the game. Okay. No, that is a single player game, story driven with a strong narrative. You absolutely need a finish if you're going to be able to say the evil within, you need to finish.
Wrong.
I can tell you right now, just looking at video, that game is garbage. Just straight up.
Chad bases so much on video.
Man. Oh, my God. Okay. No, I'm just saying.
You're right. You know, we don't need to play games to review them.
Why do we do a podcast?
Let's just watch YouTube videos.
Am I incorrect?
Yes.
Yeah.
No. That game is garbage. We all know that. You know that.
The game's not that bad.
By the way, I played Pickle 2. It's fucking awesome.
Pickle 2?
Peggle 2.
Oh, Peggle 2.
Yeah,
it's awesome.
Okay.
Yeah, he doesn't know what he's talking about.
My bad.
I don't even know where we're
at. All right. So, Evil Within Year Walk, that's probably looking like my week, but who knows? That may change up a bit.
We're so close to 500 followers.
Yeah.
Steam group members.
Yeah.
That.
I will upload these pictures today because Bobby's going to help me out.
Yeah.
Bobby's going to help me do this.
This is how this conversation went, guys. I have the pictures for what we're going to give away on the 500 members. Cool. Where are they? Well, they're on my phone. Bobby looked at him like, how much work do you expect me to do?
All of it. I expect you to do all of it, Bobby.
Oh, God.
All right, let's get out of here.
Yeah, let's wrap it up. Okay, so we talked about the week ahead. One little announcement, the free game giveaway is still going on Saturdays, and of course the special list is still happening. Thanks again to SeaWill for donating a game. Got another copy of XCOM Enemy Unknown. If you do not have that game, hit me up on Steam.
What are you doing?
I know.
What are you doing with your life?
Yeah, seriously. Yeah. It is a must
play. Get it from Bobby.
Dude, I'm trying to give it to, I'm trying to let the listeners get these games.
Have you played that game?
He hasn't played it.
No.
And what's that's your favorite game?
The original.
What's your favorite game of all time?
XCOM.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
The original. Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, why would I ever play the other? Jesus Christ.
I have a really hard time taking fucking... I don't know. Teddy Roosevelt is the only character I can come up with right now. Larry King... The white Larry.
For my look.
Yes.
For the audio listeners, I look like a douchebag.
Yeah. Okay. All right, so that's it. You can check out all our content, upcoming stuff. Be sure to check out our YouTube channel for that Top 5 Scary Games 2014 video. DL Gaming, dlgaming.net is the website. Is this the Hoxton mask? I think this is Hoxton.
Or
is this
my name, dude?
It's not the Dallas one. I wanted the Dallas one, but you guys
brought them all.
This isn't Chains. Chains
you only brought one. God damn it.
I look for that one.
All right. So I guess we're signing off.
Yeah.
Motherfucking titties. Peace. Happy Halloween.